Is this on? Everything working? All good? Good afternoon?
Good afternoon.
Okay, so we're working through our statements of belief, the things that are on our website, and our website states that we believe in the unity of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in the Godhead. So as we look at the Trinity, on what is known as Trinity Sunday, and yes, that was deliberate, we declare that God is three in one. But I want to start by stating what we're not saying in that statement, okay? So we are not saying that we worship three gods, that there is a God called Father, a God called Son, and a God called Spirit. That's not what we're saying. So we're not saying there are three gods who are equal to each other and above every other god. We're saying that Father, Son, and Spirit are one God, yet they're distinct persons. And I say distinct deliberately because Father, Son, and Spirit are not different, and they're not separate, but they are distinctive. So we can identify Father, Son, and Spirit and still proclaim that they are one God. We're also not saying that we worship one God who appears in three different forms. So God is not like the chemical formula H2O, which can be encountered as ice or water or steam, depending on the conditions. God is not like that. Our God is always one God. He's always Father, Son, and Spirit, all of the time, at the same time. And so we also want to say that our God is not one God who is in three parts. So we don't worship one God who is one third Father and one third Son and one third Spirit. God is one and he cannot be split into different parts. And so what we're affirming this afternoon is that God the Father is 100% God all of the time and in every way. That God the Son is 100% God all of the time and in every way. And that God the Holy Spirit is 100% God all of the time and in every way. Father, Son, and Spirit are one, and there is no other God. Our God is above all and the only one to be worshipped. Which really leaves us with the Trinity is a mystery. It's really not something that we are fully able to understand or explain. And I'm actually quite glad about that, because a God that I can explain or understand completely or manipulate is actually no God at all. For God to be God, he has to be so much greater than I that I cannot comprehend him. God must be so different from me that I can only respond in awe and wonder. And so as we look at some scriptures together this afternoon, it's my hope that we're going to be have our hearts turned to wonder and worship as we look at the Trinity and how we see that in scripture. First question really though is, why are Christians so convinced that we have the Trinity? What is this mystery called the Trinity, and why are we so convinced about it? And we need to say that it's because God has revealed that God is Father, Son, and Spirit. It's not something we've made up. This is how God has made himself known. And by the way, when I refer to God as he or him, I don't think God is male. I don't think he's female either, and I don't think he's, you know, God is beyond gender. But it's just that the English language doesn't really have anything that's neutral, that doesn't sound rude. So I really don't want to call God it. Sounds very disrespectful. So when I call God he, that's just because I can't think of another way of saying it that doesn't show the right kind of honour. But I don't think God is male. So I just wanted to get that out there. So people have not made up the Trinity. It is the revelation of God himself. And if that is how God has chosen to reveal himself, then we need to honour that, don't we? So we're looking at some scriptures together, and they reveal the Trinity, and they are all from the New Testament. Now that is not because we don't see the Trinity in the Old Testament. But it is much clearer in the New Testament. After all, in the Old Testament, the Son has been not been revealed. Son has been foretold, but not revealed in the same way as in the New. And in the Old Testament, the Spirit has been encountered, the Spirit has been there, but not known and received in the same way that we can do so now. So we're talking about the Trinity, and we're looking at New Testament passages, but if you want to chat to me later about where we see the Trinity in the Old Testament, I am very happy to do that. Okay? So the first passage of scripture is not that way around. There we go. John 15, verses 26 to 27. When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. So this is Jesus speaking. And we see the Father, the Son, and the Spirit all at work, and they are testifying and pointing to each other. So in red, we've got the references to the Spirit. In bold, the references to the Father. And underlined are the references to the Son, Jesus, who is speaking. So what we see in just these couple of verses are that Father, Son, and Spirit come from each other. They're sent by each other. They're constantly pointing back to each other, and they speak of each other, and they give each other glory. Ephesians 2, verse 18 is probably the pithiest version of the Trinity that I think we see in Scripture. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. So it's through Jesus the Son that we can come to our Heavenly Father by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Yes? Yeah. Father, Son, and Spirit are one. Slightly longer passage in 1 Thessalonians 1, verses 2 to 6. We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labour prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by the hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters, that... I lost where I was on there, but just to check where we are, for we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with joy given by the Holy Spirit. So once again, this is a passage where Father, Son, and Spirit are all mentioned. And it shows how the Trinity is involved in the faith, in our faith and in the gospel. So God the Son is referred to as Lord Jesus Christ, and then a little bit later as Lord. And Jesus is mentioned as our example, or the embodiment of the gospel. The Son reveals and shows us the gospel, and he's the one that we have faith in, if you like. The Holy Spirit is the way that we have received and lived the gospel. It's through the Holy Spirit that we come to know and have faith and receive. And what about the Father? Help me out here. So when Paul writes God, is he referring to Godhead, the three in one, or is he referring to God the Father? So I think in the verse 2, and three, it's the Godhead. So we always thank God, the three in one, for you continually. And we remember before our God, three in one, and Father. Do you see what I mean? There's like, which person of God is he talking about? So I think God, first of all, is God in the Godhead. And then we get the Father and the Son and the Spirit being mentioned. We're going to look through different scriptures, and you may disagree with me about which person of the Trinity is being mentioned and when God is being referred to as the Godhead and when God the Father is being mentioned, but I think I also want to say at this point, it possibly just doesn't matter either. Right. Let's not get too caught up on these things. What we see is that God is one, and God is at work in different ways through different people, different persons of the Trinity. Okay, so 1 Peter 1, verses 1 to 2. So this is from Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect exiles who are scattered through the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to be obedient to Jesus Christ and sprinkled with his blood. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. So Paul writes in his letter that we have been chosen by God the Father. We are sanctified by the Holy Spirit. in order that we will be obedient to Jesus Christ, who is Lord. So once again, we have Father, Son, and Spirit at work in our salvation and in the way that that is lived out. And again, I wonder what you think about two gods elect. Is that the Godhead or is that God the Father? I don't know. Thoughts for you to go away and pray about. 1 John 4, 13-15. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit, and we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Saviour of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. Again, another scripture that mentions Father, Son and Spirit, and also God as a kind of neither Father, Son or Spirit, but the entirety, I think, of the Godhead. So it's a very interesting exercise if you want to go through the New Testament letters and try and identify the different persons in the Trinity and where they're being mentioned. And also just to think, when people write and say God, are they talking about a particular person in the Trinity, or are they talking about the whole of the Godhead? If you're interested in that, you can go away and have a look. If you're not, you don't have to. But in this verse, I just wanted to point out that I'm not sure if verse 13 is the whole of the Godhead. So verse 13 says, this is how we know that we live in him and he in us. Is that how do we know that God, we live in God and God lives in us, the whole Godhead? Or is that talking about the Spirit? Is that talking about Jesus? I don't know. These are thoughts that might help you kind of reflect and meditate on these scriptures and think about what it means for us. Interestingly, the verses before this really don't help, because verses 7 to 12 say, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. And whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. And this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. And that's the verse that might kind of help us go, oh, I wonder if he's talking about God the Father. Because who sends the Son? God the Father. But who lives in us? Is that not the Spirit? So do you see how it's the Trinity is there? And sometimes it's very explicit, and we can see Father, Son, and Spirit mentioned. And sometimes we have to dig a little bit deeper and work out, who is he in this verse? Who is it that people are writing about? I would also say the fact that it is sometimes quite tricky to work it out tells me that firstly the Trinity is one, and you cannot separate Father, Son and Spirit and the work that they do, and it is perfectly possible to say that the Father saves, Jesus saves and the Spirit saves. They all do the same work, and in various parts of scriptures that will happen. Salvation will be attributed to Father, salvation will be attributed to the Son, or to the Spirit. They all do the same work, and sometimes it's hard to work out who's doing what. And you know what? That's okay. Doesn't matter. Okay? But if you like this kind of thing, then feel free to go away and have a look at some scriptures. And these are all scriptures where you see Father, Son, and Spirit in the same verses. Sometimes it's very explicit, sometimes not so, but the Trinity is most definitely there in Scripture. We're going to look at one last bit of Scripture together, because I want you to do some work. Okay, so Ephesians 1, verses 1 to 14. This is from Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. John, can you move it forward a bit? Because otherwise I'm going to just get distracted. Sorry. So, praise be to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. Mm. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we who were the first to put our hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of the truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. So it's really easy to identify the Son and the Father and the Spirit when Paul very explicitly mentions them as the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. But do you notice in this scripture how many times God is referred to as he? Just because, again, that's what the English language kind of requires of us. In that scripture, can you work out who he is referring to? Bearing in mind that our choices are either it's the Godhead in the entirety, or it's Father, Son, or Spirit. I'm going to get you to vote on it just because it'll be interesting to see where you're at and what you're thinking. But before we do that, I want you to notice something else. Verses 6, 12, and 14 have this phrase, to the praise of his glory. And that, I'm sure, is to the praise of God's glory. Okay. And he writes that there are three things that are to the praise of God's glory. They are the fact that we are chosen and loved and adopted by the Father. And then it's the fact that we have put our hope in Christ. And then in verse 14, it's the Holy Spirit that's the seal of and guarantees our inheritance. And the fact that we belong to God that is to the praise of God's glory. So again, I just wanted to point out all of the persons of the Trinity are involved in these things. And Paul and other writers in the New Testament very regularly interchange Father, Son, and Spirit for the work that is happening. And you may find it interesting to identify exactly what's what. You may not. But just for the fun of it, and just because I want to see where people are at, would you go back to the start of it for me, please? Okay, so we've got Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus. Okay, that's clearly the Son. I'm not even going to ask you about that one. By the will of God. So, you've got a choice of Godhead, Father, Son, or Spirit. Okay? By the will of God, is that God the Spirit? Is that God the Son? Anybody think that's God the Father? And anybody think that's God as in Godhead? Okay, right, thank you very much, good. I'm kind of like, whenever Jesus is mentioned, I quite often think God means God the Father, just because of the fact that he's mentioned in connection with the Son. But I don't think that's necessarily true, so we've got a split, that's good. So, to God's holy people in Ephesus, is that God the Godhead? Hands up if you think that. Okay, yeah, a few. And who thinks that's God the Father? God the Son? God the Holy Spirit? I really didn't have a clue. Okay, we've got Jesus mentioned again. We've got God the Father mentioned again. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, all very, very clear. So moving on to the next one, please, Ruth. Okay, who chose us in him. So who is it that we have been chosen in before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight? I agree, which is why it's underlined. But people may disagree. So does anybody think anything else? Or are we agreed that we are chosen in Christ? Yeah? Okay. All right then. So in love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. So, who has predestined us? In love, he.
God.
Godhead? God the Father? Okay, a few for that. Okay. But not God the Son, because we're predestined for adoption. Yeah, okay. Not Spirit? No, so we're thinking Godhead or God the Father. Okay. in accordance with his pleasure and will. Again, is that the whole Godhead? Or are we thinking that's God the Father's pleasure and will? To the praise of his glorious grace, I think that's definitely kind of God, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him, we have redemption through his blood.
Jesus.
Yeah? Okay, right. So, what about the next one? So, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. So, God's grace is the Godhead or God the Father? Hands up for Godhead, 3 in 1. Anyone for God the Father? Okay. Yeah? Okay. That he lavished on us. See, so it could be several, right? Because it could be the love that Jesus has lavished on us. It could be the love of God the Father that has been lavished on us. Or it could be the Godhead. Yes?
I mean, whatever it is, it's the same one.
You think it's the same one. So you think if you've chosen the Godhead for the first one, that has to be the Godhead for the second. Okay? Yeah?
It might not be though, because he is written in lowercase.
Okay.
And usually when they're referring to God as the Godhead, I think they put capital.
Quite possibly. Do you know what? I really didn't actually look at the Greek for any of this. Just couldn't quite get my head around the whole kind of complicated enough as it is. But you're right. There is nothing that says it has to be. It all depends on how you read these things. So my purpose this afternoon is not that we figure out Ephesians 1 and have this absolute nailed down. It's to point out to you that the Trinity is definitely there in Scripture, and that Father, Son, and Spirit are one. And they do the same things, and they also do different things, and they work together. To highlight that you might want to go and do a bit of homework and have a think about these things. But mostly, isn't God amazing? Like we are looking at this going, I don't know. And it doesn't matter, because actually God loves us so much that we don't need to understand. God does not require us to understand who he is in order to love us and to save us, and to live in us. And God has not kept distant because he is so unfathomable. He hasn't gone, oh, they can't possibly understand who I am, leave them alone. God's gone, I'm going to show them who I am. And they may not understand, and they may reject me, but I am still going to come and show myself and reveal myself to them. So I hope that what we've done this afternoon is not just a linguistic exercise. It should be a reminder that God has revealed himself as the three in one, that there is unity in the Godhead, and that we are drawn to worship our God. And so, if you can click on to the next one, verse that we're very, very familiar with, we say to each other often, yes? It's 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you always. We said this blessing lots. Have you realised how Trinitarian it is? Because I am certain that that is God the Father. And I would like us to say that to each other in a moment, and I would like us to use the phrase, and the love of God the Father. Okay. So Paul is reminding the Corinthian church they have received, freely received, great blessings and riches because of what Christ has done. They've not received it through their own effort or goodness, but because of the work and the purity of Jesus. And Paul's reminding them of the glorious love God the Father has for them and for us as his children. For the fact that he has provided for and protected us, that he has cherished and delighted in us. And I think possibly there is something about mentioning God the Father that also reminds us that we are disciplined by God in order that we might grow up and be mature and bring him honour. And then Paul reminds them they have fellowship in the Holy Spirit. We can, we should walk daily in the presence of the Spirit of God who lives within us. And the Spirit of God, of course, brings us into fellowship with each other. So can we share this blessing together? Can we say love of God the Father instead of just saying God? And mostly, let's just wonder and worship at how God has revealed himself to us and drawn us to him. So, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.